Good morning, everybody. Once again, it's a joy to meet together again in cyberspace. And I think this is week number 6. But nevertheless, I feel especially privileged to report to you the faithfulness of the Lord for each one of us, how well he's keeping us. And together, I know that each of you are so very thankful for his mercy, for his grace, for his goodness that he's shown you this week. And basically all the days of our lives, even before we were saved, some of us, including myself, didn't recognize it at the time, but it's true. But today, I have a lot to share with you. I do hope that, excuse me, the Lord will help me to sort out my notes because they're subject to change. And I want to be faithful to continue to bring you the word, because all of us needs the word. It feeds our spirit man. It takes our minds off of circumstances and things that are going on around us. And it brings us into the realm of the spirit and how the Holy Spirit interacts with us and ministers to us. And so with that in mind, today I've titled this little message, A Certain Promise. And certain in the sense of, I didn't just pick one out, because there are thousands of promises that God has made in his word. But this one, I use the word certain in the sense of, a certain promise means a promise that God made that is, it's an absolute certainty, it's settled, it's established, and it's one that goes all the way back as far as the scriptures themselves go back, and it's the promise of his presence. And many times when we are reading the scriptures, we don't see a lot of that outright by God saying, well, he comes right out and says, I will be with you. And usually it's in reference to addressing issues of fear, because God does not want us to get into fear. We've talked a lot about fear, so I don't want to focus on the fear. I want to talk about the promise of his presence. And Hebrews 13:5, the word says that he will never leave us nor forsake us. And that's the certain promise that I want to talk about today. And so I have a few scripture references, and I'll make sure to read them a couple times so that you can write them down. If you're not aware, you can grab your Bibles and have time to read them at the same time we're talking about them. But at least you can still take notes and write those down and look them up later. The first scripture I'd like to talk about is Psalm 46:1. And many of us are familiar with this. I've used it quite frequently over the course of years, and how it's meant a lot to me, particularly on missions trips and where I've been away from home and the comforts of home, the security of being home, and being in situations where I found myself totally having to depend on God's presence as a certainty in my life, because I was in places where, in situations where I couldn't count on myself getting out of a situation without the Lord's help. But anyway, I'm going to read just verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And I've found myself in trouble lots of times in my life. Generally, it was before I got saved, and I had no idea who God was. And I'd never looked at him as my refuge or my strength. I always was a person who would find my way out of a mess that most of the times I created, and then I had to get myself out of it. But as a believer, if we continue to read the rest of the verses in Psalm 46, it talks about great physical or natural calamities that happen all the time in the world, and to not be afraid of those. And God said that he's our refuge and strength, a very present help. And that's a wonderful promise, because a refuge is a place of safety. It's a place of protection. It's a place of covering. It's a place of a spiritual overshadowing, if you will, of the Lord over us, to protect and to preserve us. And strength, there are a lot of people right now that are beginning to crack after being confined in their houses for 6 weeks. And it's not easy for people to be in each other's faces in close quarters. I don't care how long you love somebody, you've been with them. It's very different to not have any space. And so I would just say, if you haven't found time to give each other space, it's really important that we do that, because this might last a while longer here in Vermont. And then he says, a very present help in trouble. When I see that word, a very present help, God is not distant. He's as close as the mention of his name. And I'm going to look at this from the perspective of he's present because he indwells us by the Holy Spirit when we became a believer, and he filled us with his Spirit. So a lot of times I want to talk about that fact, that he's present always because of that fact, that he's in us by his Spirit. And speaking about how happy I am at this verse, it was very helpful to me two missions trips ago when I had gone to India, and there was a kidnapping plot that I knew nothing about. And here at the church, we had prayed together on that particular Sunday morning that God would be my bodyguard, that there would be people that would surround me and keep me safe on this missions trip. And I've shared this with most of you several times about how a kidnapping plot actually had been planned, and I was speaking the night it was going to happen, but a wonderful Christian brother, whom I cannot disclose because these messages, he gets a copy of these in India, and so I don't want to disclose his name, what he does, or his location publicly, because that would do grave damage to him and his family. But he uncovered the plot and shut down the meeting and protected me and kept me from the hands of those who wanted to do me harm. And I was asked why I wasn't afraid, and I told them that we had just prayed as a church back in the States three or four days earlier, and suddenly I was in that situation, and I just thought they were all God's bodyguards, just like we prayed, and I was not in fear. And the blessing was, we ended up being the ones that got to eat all the food that people brought, because they were going to have a nice dinner after the meeting. So there was lots of food, and I got to enjoy that. We waited the kidnappers out for an hour, and when they finally discovered that they weren't going to have their way, they all dissipated on their motorbikes, and they were gone off in the darkness of night, and we all lived happily ever after. End of story. I was very happy that he was very present, because that could have been an extremely different outcome had that not happened. The next verse, Isaiah 43:2, you see God's promise again. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and neither shall the flame kindle upon you. And these are from Isaiah 43:2. And each one of these, as I read them from that verse, it reminded me of three really humongous miracles that God did out of multitudes of miracles. But the first one, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, so reminds me of Moses and how God gave Moses instructions about what to do when they encountered the Red Sea and their God's delivering them out of the hands of Pharaoh, and they went towards the Red Sea. And when they got to the Red Sea, God had previously told Moses exactly what to do. And I'd like to read just a couple verses so that you can see exactly how that turned out. And Moses stretched, this is from Exodus chapter 14, verses 21 and 22. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea dry land. And the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. So, reading from Isaiah 43:2, it's a wonderful reminder to the nation of Israel from its earliest beginnings that God had their back all the time. God was always a God who loves, a God who cares, a God who delivers out of all sorts of calamities and possible disasters. And Isaiah's reminding the readers of that promise. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And then we have another incident that happened, similar. And this was a promise that God made to Joshua. The Lord told Joshua what to do, and he said, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And this was from Joshua chapter 3, verse 5. And then we're going to read this account. And the priests, the Jordan River incident, Joshua chapter 3 and verse 17. And the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. And that's exactly like God fulfilling his word that he told Joshua before the waters. If you read a little earlier in that chapter, you can read that entire segment where God piled the Jordan River up all the way up to the north, and the water just kept backing up and backing up and backing up. And the ground was dry. God dried the ground, and all the Israelites could pass over where the Jordan River was. But now it was like a dry riverbed. And just as he dried up the Red Sea for them to pass over, he did the same thing for the Israelites. They could cross on dry ground. And he gave that promise to Joshua. He said, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And so Isaiah's word, when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. Well, to me, having read these accounts many times before in the Old Covenant, I think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego being thrown in the burning fiery furnace because they would not bow down and worship the golden statue of King Nebuchadnezzar. And he became enraged and had planned to throw these men in the furnace, the burning fiery furnace. And that's from Daniel chapter 3. But the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, had made a covenant with each other. They were in full agreement, releasing their faith together. And they said this, if it be so, meaning if they're going in the furnace, they said, if it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O King. And the important thing here for us is to realize they had already made a pact together or a covenant, and they were willing to die before they would bow down. And they really put their lives and their future in the trust that they had of the Lord. Whether he delivered them or not, they believed he would, but they decided what they were going to do if he didn't. And what they were going to do was they would let the king throw them in the furnace. And now let's see what happened with that. 10 verses later, Daniel chapter 3, verse 27, and the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, and neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Just exactly as Isaiah had said in chapter 43 and verse 2, when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, and neither shall the flame kindle upon you. And God was with them in the furnace. If you read that whole account, you will see that they also saw a fourth man walking in the furnace. And some people have said it may have been an angel, it may have been the Spirit of the Lord, it may have been Jesus, or it may have been the Lord himself, because in all of these situations he promised that he would be with them and that he wouldn't leave them or forsake them. And so that's a wonderful promise that we have today as well, because he doesn't change and he's with us by his Spirit. And then, as we go on a little further, we have some promises from Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 12. And this refers to Benjamin, something that the Lord spoke to him. But because God is no respecter of persons, he used a term, and listen to this, and of Benjamin, he, meaning the God, said, "The beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him, and the Lord shall cover him all the day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders." And I thought a long time about this verse, because I haven't found the word beloved very many times in the Old Covenant. I've read it quite a few times, but the word beloved never really stood out. But I have found it at least 6 times and 13 times in the New Covenant. And both times, the word beloved is such a term of endearment. And it's very touching to see that, because it reveals our Heavenly Father's heart toward his children to see the word beloved. Paul was the one in the New Covenant pretty much that referred to the church as his beloveds. We've been accepted in the beloveds. We've been accepted as God's children when he adopted us, and all of those sort of thought processes. But I want to, it's kind of like a love promise from our Heavenly Father in a term of endearment. And I wanted to talk to you about when our kids were little, in regards to what this promise said. And when our kids were little, they used to love to jump on my back one at a time sometimes, and I'd carry them all around the house. And they'd wrap their little arms around my neck and hang on, and they'd love to go for a piggyback ride on daddy's back, and they'd wrap their arms around my neck, and I'd hold them onto their legs. And they were safe right on my back and right between my shoulders. And if we hiked or walked for any distance, they would often fall asleep. And I got thinking about that in light of that scripture that we just read about being between the Lord's shoulders. And I want to read that again. "The beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him, and the Lord shall cover him all the day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders." And as our little kids would ride on our backs, and I know many of you have cavorted around on the floor with grandchildren, or maybe your kids when they were young, and you probably can all relate to that, to give your kids a piggyback ride, and how they're so safe, right on your back, and they're so comforted, they just want to ride there. They like being there. And it's a wonderful closeness that we experienced with our kids when they were little. And on a human body, it seems to be the strongest place to be. And even the school kids today, if you watch them carrying book bags on their backs or backpacks to school, and they're strapped over the shoulders and the pack is carried right between the child's shoulders, or as he grows, he carries bigger bags on his back, or if you go hiking or backpacking, the reason the pack goes there so the straps can go over your shoulders and support the weight that's on your back. And so I think of that in that same manner from that scripture. We are also carried on the Father's back right between his shoulders. And as he says, he will cover us, protect us all day long. His face is forward from us, and he's always looking out for our safety, our security, and our provision. And like I said, sometimes if we hiked for a while and carried one of our kids on our back like that, it wasn't long, and they would fall asleep. They weren't in fear. They felt very safe, very in a comfortable place, and they just liked being there with us in that manner. And so the fact that they would go to sleep says a lot about young children, because sometimes they can be afraid of things. They're not very old yet sometimes, and they hear strange noises, or they're around strange people that they don't know, and they're very prone to not wanting to go to sleep right at that moment. And this is, it's almost like a parable of what the scripture from Deuteronomy is speaking to us today. And always remember that he gives us, as he said, he gives us that protection and that comfort, and that he carries us all the day. And that's important. And so that when the child falls asleep, it's like us, we also can be so comforted of that awareness of the Lord's presence that we also should be able to fall asleep very easily at night. And that's the last verse I want to talk about, Psalm 127, verse 2. And the word says, "It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep." And this is the second time out of six that I came across the word beloved in the Old Covenant. And even though we see it in the New, it shows that God has not changed, that this is what he desires. And he said it's so foolish, it's so useless, it's such a waste of time to get up early in the morning or to sit up late at night, to eat the bread of sorrows, to think how bad everything is around us, and just sit and fret. And we talked about worry last week, so I don't want to go back to that. But this is something else that God has given us that's of great benefit to each of us. For so he gives his beloved sleep, just like being on his back, just like our kids falling asleep on our back when we used to give them piggyback rides. Just imagine yourself and God giving you a piggyback ride. And I know some of you think, oh boy, he's really way out there. But yeah, I am. But I just get that kind of image of the safety and the covering and the protection, because it may be a few more weeks and more into the summer before we see things begin to start turning around to where we'll see the benefits of them. I'm not claiming doom and gloom, but I'm wise enough that I know our state very well. And I know that they're not going to do anything suddenly, and it's going to be a very calculated move that they're going to make, and it still may be a few more weeks. So I would just encourage us to hang on to Daddy's neck, keep your arms close around his neck, and let him carry you through however many weeks it is, however long it is, before we see this calamity that's going on around us stop. We continue to pray, of course, for our president and all of those that are counseling him, that he gets godly counsel and that he will not make foolish decisions, nor our governor or those in authority over us, that we will continue to remain steadfast, to remain strong, to not be moved, and that we let the Lord give us a good night's sleep every night, and don't lay awake worrying about tomorrow. The biggest worry chapter is Matthew chapter 6. If you want some references to reasons not to worry, the birds don't. They come to your house if you got a bird feeder. They just know they're not going to worry about food because we're going to feed them. We have a bird feeder. And so don't get up early in the morning. We don't have to now. Some of us did before. We were patterned to get up earlier, but now we're kind of in this in-house situation, and so time seems to drift from one day to the next. Unless I look at my calendar, some days can start turning into days like yesterday, and today will be like tomorrow, and not distinguishing the days of the week. But it's vain, it's useless, it will profit us nothing to eat the bread of sorrows when you stop and you think about every day how the Lord has sustained us. We have food to eat, we have warm homes, we have food in our refrigerators, the fact that we have a refrigerator and we have food, and He's provided for us in so many ways, everything that we have need of. There is no need to be concerned about that now, because He's the same God of miracles that He's always been. He's the same faithful God that He's always been, and He will continue to be, because He said, I'm the Lord and I change not. So today, I would just like to leave you with those thoughts and be reminded of a certain promise that God has made that's worth everything. And He promised us His presence, and that He would never leave us nor forsake us, no matter how bad the storms are raging all around us. I noticed another phrase in those scriptures. He said, when you walk through. That's a decision. That's walking with a purpose. It is not His will that we stop in the middle of something. To walk through something means to arrive at the predetermined destination, which is the other side of the something that you and I are walking through. And it's always with a purpose. It's always with an intent that we arrive at the other side. I saw Jesus say that, let us pass to the other side. Well, there's always another side. And that's the place that God takes us from where we are today. And it's the same, whatever we walk through, the intent and the purpose is victory. And that phrase, to walk through something, it means go through with the intent of winning. Go through with the intent that there's victory. Go through that with the intent of, I'm in this and God is in it with me, and there is nothing that's going to stop me from achieving my God-given goals on the other side of however long it is and wherever it leads us. We are, I don't like to use the world saying we're all in this together, but in Christianity, we are all in it together, and we haven't been separated out from the lost. In fact, we find ourselves treated much the same. But the advantage is for us, as we have received what our Heavenly Father has promised, and that's His presence. The unsaved do not have that yet, but He's still watching out for them. Always remember, Jesus said the Lord reigns on the just as well as the unjust, and all of these promises are for them too. The day that they call upon Him and be saved, then they will receive those promises for themselves, and they will know and recognize that He's had their back all the time, and He always will. And so I hope this isn't as long as the last couple weeks, and I didn't want it to be complicated, and I apologize for jumping around a little bit, but they all fit better this way, to remind us every step of the way, every day of our walk, He remains faithful. And so keep that promise close to your heart and always remember that. And let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word today. Once again, it isn't how long we spend this time. It's the quality of what we're doing while we're spending it together. And we thank you for your word today. We thank you for your words. We thank you that we all need to wash our minds. It's so easy to get caught up in things going on around us, and it's a place of safety and refreshing when we come back to your word and allow our minds to be washed with the water of the word, to put ourselves in remembrance of your promises, and to thank you today. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your goodness. And thank you for the new life that we have in Jesus. There is nothing like it, and there won't be anything like it ever, because this is eternal for all of us as believers. And we're so thankful how you faithfully care for us, even when we're sleeping at night. You give your beloved sleep, just as you said in your word, and it's good quality sleep. It's not waking up and rolling over and thrashing around in bed. We go to bed, we go to sleep, and our sleep is restful and peaceful, and you give us wonderful dreams. So, Lord, as we conclude this part of our day today, I just want to thank you for those even who are listening from overseas now in a totally different time zone, that this word is timely and meaningful, and it works in our lives and wherever we are, whatever country, whatever time zone. Your word works if we take it and apply it to our lives, because it's about a daily walk, and it isn't always an easy walk, and there are challenges along the way, but we are indeed very thankful. We are a thankful people that we never have to walk alone, that you're always with us, and your promises are forever. In Jesus' name, amen.